The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
One of the questions I'm always asked is, how do I get through this? And it's really tough, and you feel it, and it hurts. And then you put your shoulders back, you put your head up, you hug your friends and your family, and you just keep going. So, as you know, the commissioners decide what's going to happen. And then there's always this plan to send letters and to talk to them and kind of get a feel for where they're going. And last time we did that, we were so hopeful. The night before, we thought, oh, this is it. So hopeful. And it turned out really crappy. So tonight, based on some of the information, we're not so hopeful. So we're going to let Lori say a prayer. And we're going to just keep going. Okay? Lisa, can you come over? So we can all kind of be close.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, to do only what you can do, that you would bring us the outcome that we want. We ask that you would speak with the people on this board who are going to make this life-altering decision for Leo and Chrissy. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would give them that knowing in the bottom of their soul that they would be doing the right thing by granting him parole. We just ask and pray, and we are begging on our knees that it is the outcome that we so desire. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we pray this in your Son Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sorrow's depths are endless in this valley of tears. I wanna see your revelation. I wanna know who you are. I'm reaching out in desperation to the one holding the stars, to the one who's holding the stars, to the one who's holding the stars, to the one who's holding the stars.
This is a special bonus episode of Bone Valley. The day before Leo's parole hearing, Scott Kupp and I had one last chance to meet with the commissioners who would decide if Leo was going to be granted parole. Going into these meetings, we had some insight about where the commissioners might stand. The commission's chair, Melinda Coonrod, had been asking Leo's lawyers questions that seemed to indicate she believes in Leo's innocence. The second commissioner, David Wyant, is a former police officer from Polk County. We heard he'd had a close relationship with the former state attorney, Jerry Hill, and he'd be the commissioner least receptive toward granting Leo parole. That left Commissioner Richard Davison, the third vote, the wild card, the one who would probably cast the tie-breaking vote in determining Leo's fate. So we came to Tallahassee for a meeting with Davison just 24 hours before the official ruling would be made at Leo's May 3rd parole hearing. Kelsey was outside waiting for me and Scott when we walked out of the meeting.
The car? Or...
No, it's really bad, and he's not going to talk right now.
I can't talk. I'm sorry.
Fucking disaster. He's been talking to the 10th and went over it. He said, I've listened to both sides now, and I'm just not convinced he's innocent, and I'm going to vote for 24 months at Everglades. And he says, maybe there'll be an epiphany tomorrow, but that's the way I'm voting. He started talking to me about bloodstains, and it's just fucking very clear that the state is talking to him and giving him all sorts of bullshit about the evidence. He goes, where's the blood? There's no blood. Where's the blood at the canal? It's like, it's fucking there. You want to see the picture? FDLE says it in the transcript. That's where her blood is, and he's arguing that shit with me, and I just, you know, he says, this is not about guilt or innocence anyway, but he says, I'm a creature of the system, and I have to believe that what the courts have decided is correct, and the courts are saying he's guilty. And he said, I didn't hear one thing in your podcast that was inaccurate to me. It's like, okay, well, then you know he's innocent.
What the fuck?
I just never forget the words. He said, I'm a creature of the system. The courts have ruled, and he's not willing to acknowledge that there are mistakes made, which, you know, he did write the report to give clemency to the Groveland Four, so he knows that mistakes are made. He just won't do it. And, you know, I mean, I'm just imagining that Wyant is in the same boat. We saw Wyant in the hallway, asked him if he would meet with us. He said, I'm busy. Give me a call on my cell phone, and just walked away. 24 months at Everglades.
24 months? 2 fucking years? Why 2 years?
Well, the thing he did say, unless I have an epiphany, that's going to be my vote. And so we just talked about keep an open mind for the epiphany. But I don't know. It was the worst meeting I've ever been in my life.
We gave Scott a minute to process what had just happened, and then we got in the car with him and left, knowing that we'd be back the next morning for the hearing.
2 years? So let's think about that. You don't give a flying fuck whether this man's guilty or innocent. That's what it boils down to.
He has to respect the fucking state.
Scott knew he owed Leo an update about the meetings. He tried to get Leo on the phone, tell him about what just happened, but he couldn't get through. Scott forwarded me the email he sent him. Hey, Davison says he listened to the podcast, but he is still inclined to vote extension to Everglades for the lifers. We may still be able to convince him to straight parole to Noah's, and that's what we're working on now and going into the evening. We're still at the worst case scenario of transfer to Everglades. Please try to hang in there. We are not finished by any stretch. I will keep sending you emails through the evening as I get more info. I still know God has this. I pray you agree. Scott.
After we'd met with the commissioners, I got a text from Chrissy. Just said, I need to talk. And I knew, oh, she knows. Leo must have got that thing and knew it and called her.
I'm going to have to just give her some hope. I don't know. I can't just tell her it's came over because I don't know it's over. I mean, it's not, it hasn't been voted on yet. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Chrissy's ready, she says. I prefer not to record. Okay, Let me just turn this off then. Sorry, she never does this.
I know.
So she's gonna be upset. Okay, here we go. Crazy? Hey, where are you right now? Called her, and she's as upset as I've ever heard her in knowing her. She was just crying and venting. She was frustrated. It's okay. No, you don't have to apologize for anything. No, you don't apologize, Chrissy. I know this. I know. It's okay. You can do it to me. It's okay. The stress about this and just knowing that you have another defeat coming, I know, can't even imagine what that's like. It's a really hard place to be in, and to hear somebody just desperate and, you know, in tears, it's just brutal. And, you know, I think there's probably some hope that, like, this story is going to change everything, and, you know, kind of didn't.
I know. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry.
She said, I'm in desperation mode. What else is there? Someone else. We got to try something different.
We're all sitting here thinking, just scrambling and trying to do last minute things. And is there a magic thing to that was said that will change their minds? I mean, if you have any ideas about that, I don't know.
She said, well, then we need a miracle. We have to pray for a miracle. And, you know, well, that's all well and good, but I'm just thinking there's not going to be any miracles in that F-Corps building tomorrow.
Man, just going through the motions tomorrow is going to suck.
Yeah.
And just seeing people who are, like, hopeful and us standing around knowing what's going to happen. Oh, shit. I'm feeling it now. It's just this home court advantage that they have. It's all stacked in their favor. And reason, logic, the right thing, doesn't really matter. Winning matters.
I can't distance myself from it. You know, like, it should be just like, well, this is the story I'm reporting. It's unfortunate for all the people around. Like, no, we're in it. And, I mean, I don't know what to do. Like, that's, you know, we're still reporting on everything, but it's just, how do you not feel this, man? You just know what's wrong.
Hi, I'm Jason Flom, CEO and founder of Lava for Good Podcast, home to Bone Valley, Wrongful Conviction, The War on Drugs, and many other great podcasts. Today, we're asking you, our listeners, to take part in a survey. Your feedback is going to help inform how we make podcasts in the future. Your complete and candid answers will help us continue to bring you more insightful and inspiring stories about important topics that impact us all. So please, go to lavaforgood.com/survey and participate today. Thank you for your support.
Bone Valley is sponsored by Stand Together. Stand Together is a philanthropic community that partners with America's boldest changemakers to tackle the root causes of our country's biggest problems, including the broken criminal justice system. Weldon Angelos is one of those changemakers. At the age of 23, Weldon was arrested for a first-time offense of selling weed to a confidential informant. At the time, he was a budding musician, spending time with artists like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Pink, and Nas. His entire life was ahead of him when he was sentenced to a mandatory 55 years in federal prison without the possibility of early release. After serving 13 years, a bipartisan effort led to him getting officially pardoned. Upon his release, he founded the Weldon Project, a nonprofit working to create better outcomes for those still in prison that funds social change and provides financial aid for all those who are still serving time for cannabis-related offenses. Weldon Angelos is one of the many entrepreneurs partnering with Stand Together to drive solutions in education, healthcare, poverty, and criminal justice. To learn more about the War on Drugs, listen to the War on Drugs podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The night before the hearing, we had dinner reservations at a restaurant in Tallahassee with Chrissy, Ashley, her two baby boys, and some of their close friends who had made the trek up to Tallahassee to support them. The dinner was supposed to be about hope, a final chance to come together and center themselves for the next day. But after the news from the meetings, the mood was somber. Leo's best friend and bandmate, Kevin Herrick, his family showed up to be with Chrissy. They've known Leo and Chrissy for decades. Kevin's sister Lori led everyone in prayer.
We ask right now for comfort for Leo. We can't even imagine, Lord, what he's going through right now. I pray that you surround him right now, this evening, tomorrow morning, with people who love him, who can lift him up and bring him comfort. And we ask that you bring him comfort, Lord, as we know only you can do in times like this, when we feel that, you know, everything is out of our control. But we know that everything goes through your hands first. So we are accepting that. We are, as Chrissy said, lifting our heads high, and we are leaving this at the altar.
Yep.
And we got held it, high, shoulders back.
We got it. Okay. We're okay.
Yeah. We're okay. Yes, we are.
We're good.
This is
gonna work.
You know, those little boys came in, Leo's grandsons, and just like, you know, I wanted a hug from one of those kids. I just wanted to hold those kids, and so that was for me.
Like, oh, baby.
Yeah. You know, I definitely understand why so many people are religious in this world, because if you have no hope, this is it, and you got to believe in something, and this is it, and it's happening right in front of me, and I'm all in.
While we sat at dinner with Chrissy, Scott was sending me messages. He was working to pull whatever strings he could to trigger that epiphany.
You know, Scott also recognized that, you know, we need to throw the kitchen sink at this and pull out all the stops, everything, and, you know, we agreed we need Jonathan here.
Senator Jonathan Martin had already told us that he thought Leo was innocent and should not only be paroled, he should be exonerated. He's also the chair of the Florida Senate's Committee on Criminal Justice and has oversight of the Florida Commission on Offender Review, those three appointed officials who'd be making the decision to grant Leo parole or not. His presence at the hearing might be Leo's last hope.
If he could appear, you know, and with him and Scott speaking together about this, I think that if that could happen, that might be the Hail Mary pass. We need something really powerful, something that was kind of like a game changer. You know, Davidson talked about wanting to have some kind of epiphany, and I said, that's what we need, something so powerful that it's going to change the vote.
But this is the last week of the legislative session in Tallahassee, and Senator Martin has to be present to vote. So showing up at a parole hearing might not even be possible.
He had said early on, I'll do whatever I can if I can, if I'm available. So I texted him a couple times. He wasn't responding to the text. I didn't read anything negative into it. I just was like, he's inundated. And I get it. You know, he's got major responsibilities. Then I called him last night, left a voicemail, and I left a pretty long text. It was basically, help, please, help. Because I was panicked. And within 15 minutes of that text, I got a text from Jonathan, very short. I'll be there at 9 o'clock. And then I had to text back that we're not scheduled till 10. So then started panicking again.
The next morning, Scott pulled into the parking lot for the hearing. He didn't know whether or not Senator Martin would really be there.
He's pulling in right next to me at the same time. He goes, I'm going to go sit in the front row, see if that helps. And you can't miss him. He's like 6'7", 6'8". That's what he did.
Senator Martin promised to make an appearance, but with the timing and a schedule, he might not be able to stay until Leo's case was called. But he was promising Scott he'd stay for as long as he could.
I was sitting there and like the dread really hit me. I was so aware of my blood pressure, like it was just through the roof.
And then the commissioner, the chair, announced that we're going to take a short 3-minute break and we're going to come back and we're going to start with the Schofield case. And we're going to do that one first. And you could tell there was some buzz in the crowd because everybody was there for Leo's case. And it just made me think, all right, 3 minutes, that's the countdown.
Okay, ready?
And then when the hearing actually started, seeing all of our familiar faces around, and I don't know, I feel like I was worried about you.
I didn't even know what I was supposed to do except sit there and just suffer. And that was the hard part, just feeling like, well, I'm just going to be watching this and I know where it's going and it's just going to be painful.
All right, I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order for the full commission. It's 10 a.m. We're back on the record. If everyone could please take your seat if you are not going to be speaking.
Seeing the commissioners walk in and, like, you know, making eye contact with them and knowing, like, that they know what I'm thinking and, like, I know what they're thinking, and there's just, like, that recognition and, I don't know, that felt really intense. I was like, oh, why did we choose to sit in the front row? I feel, like, very vulnerable and exposed right now.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. It was just a totally helpless feeling, like, you know, after all we've done and everything, and it was just, like, really difficult to sit there and, like, maintain any kind of hope.
So we're now in the full portion of the docket where all three commissioners will be voting. Each side gets 10 minutes in which to make your presentation. We'll start with the supporters, followed by anyone in opposition. The investigator is recommending an extension, and this is on the Leo Schofield case, item number 31 on page 16. Judge Kraft, you may proceed.
At that point, I see Scott move towards the podium. I see Jonathan sitting at the front table, and I just remember thinking, they know it's desperation time. They know where things stand, and so they're not going to hold anything back. I just had that feeling that it was just going to be not your typical parole hearing.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you. My name is Scott Kupp. I'm an attorney representing Leo Schofield, obviously, but there's many, many other attorneys. A lot of them are here today, and I would just like to mention them briefly.
I was facing his back. I couldn't see his eyes, but I was watching the commissioners, and there was like this anticipation. I could sort of see it in their eyes.
Through me, the first thing I would like you to hear from is a letter written by Jesse Somm, who's Michelle Schofield's brother. It was written for the last parole hearing, which was in 2020. For some reason, and maybe the state will tell us here today, it was not read. I have no idea why it wasn't read. I think it was part of the record, but I want to read it now and make it part of the record. January 2nd, 2020, in reference to Leo R. Schofield, parole hearing 1820, to whom it may concern, I'm not going to attend the parole hearing of Leo R. Schofield. However, I do ask you to read this letter and take my comments into consideration as you make a decision about granting Leo parole. I was 16 at the time of my sister's murder. I never knew the details of the case because of my age. I had assumed the detectives and the state involved had substantial evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt to convict Leo Schofield of first-degree murder. Over the years, I've done some research and have found many inconsistencies and discrepancies in the investigation and the trial. These have led to many questions about the state's handling of my sister's murder. I'm not 100% convinced Leo is guilty of this crime. In fact, from my research, he could be innocent. It just seems likely you got the wrong guy. I do not have confidence in the conviction of Leo Schofield, and I support his request for parole. Thank you, Jesse Somm. At this time, I would like to have Senator Jonathan Martin speak.
And then Jonathan rose, and, you know, when he stands up at the podium, it looks like the podium's up to his waist, and he's just staring at the commissioners intensely.
Good morning. My name is Jonathan Martin. I've known Scott Kupp for many years. I met him when I was a prosecutor. I've handled homicide cases. Everything that I've seen about this case turns my stomach. I don't know why Leo Schofield wasn't released years ago when he was before this board. You have the opportunity to release him immediately. He wasn't released last time because he wasn't remorseful. You cannot be remorseful for something you did not do. It's not your job to determine guilt or innocence, but if you are going to consider whether somebody is remorseful and whether they should be released today or should have been released years ago, you have to at least crack the transcript. You have to at least wonder why the fingerprints of a serial killer were inside Michelle's car and were never tested and were never presented to the jury in Polk County over 30 years ago. I was 5 years old when Leo Schofield started doing time for this murder. I stand by the criminal justice system here in the state of Florida. We're one of the best on the planet. But there's a whole lot of doubt right now about how good we are. You guys have the chance today to fix that. You have the chance to restore credibility to a system that thousands of people know an injustice happened and is continuing every single second that Leo Schofield remains behind bars.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to read a portion of Leo's statement in his parole packet that you all have, but I'd just like to highlight a part of it.
Leo's letter, I thought, was really beautiful, really powerful.
First, I understand that parole is not based upon guilt or innocence, but solely a function of grace from this commission. Having shared that, I must say...
He talked about why he can't show remorse, and he talked about the deals he'd been given to get out of prison, and the fact that he stood on his innocence, it worked against him.
I ask only that you consider the fact that I have stood on my innocence in the face of plea agreements that would have allowed me to go home many years ago without parole or even probation, a fact of the record that is known by the state.
And I do believe that Leo's words made a difference in there. If it's submitted to them, maybe they read it, maybe they don't. Maybe they think, oh, all these letters are the same, and they skim it. But Scott was saying, you're not going to skim this. I'm going to tell you what he said, and it's important that you know this.
...claim of innocence he or she does not actually possess, in hopes of convincing a commission that doesn't weigh guilt or innocence to let them go, based upon that innocence. That simply does not make sense. The only right conclusion that can be arrived at with my situation is that I am forced to maintain my innocence simply because I'm actually and factually innocent. Leo Schofield. Innocent. Innocent. Innocence. That's been an elephant in the room for way too long. It was the elephant in the room in 2012. It was the elephant in the room in 2015. It was the elephant in the room in 2020. Well, look around. The elephant's gone, okay? It's out there. He is innocent. What I'm asking you to do is to search your heart. This isn't difficult. I think you all know what's gone on here. And several of you, I believe, know he is in fact innocent. One of the things that disturbed me in our meetings was the issue that guilt and innocence is not in our purview. It should always be in our purview. I don't care. Find a way to make it part of your purview. This man does not deserve one more night in prison. He's been in there for 35 years. I suspect you're going to hear from the state from another of the victims. I do not disparage anything that any of them might say. I just hope you keep it into perspective. He's been grieving for 35 years with the added thing of giving up his life for something he didn't do. He grieves every single day for Michelle Schofield. Please, I implore you, do not extend him 2 years for yet another program. Send him to the Noah's House and do it now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I know some of you travel a great distance, so thank you. We're going to now move to opposition. If you would like to speak in opposition...
Now it was the state's turn to make its case. We weren't sure if someone from the state attorney's office would even show up, but they did send a representative, Assistant State Attorney Jacob Orr. I've written Orr over the years. He handles the office's PR, but he's not the face we were expecting. He doesn't have the kind of history or emotional connection to Leo's case that Jerry Hill and Victoria Avalon have.
You can press star 6 now. Good morning, Mr. Oregon.
Thank you, commissioners. Again, my name is Jacob Orr. I'm an assistant state attorney in the 10th Circuit. We just heard a lot of talk about justice and what is justice. I became a prosecutor 15 years ago, and in that time I have learned that you cannot pursue justice unless you first pursue truth. And in this case, that's what the court systems have been doing for many, many years. I've told others I think this is the most reviewed case in the history of Polk County. And I really don't know if that's true, but I think it might be. Because we've looked at this, we've litigated this, and every time we go to court, we relitigate and we re-review the case based on the actual transcripts and the actual available evidence. And every one of those reviews results in the same outcome, that there's overwhelming evidence in support of the guilty verdict that was handed down many years ago. But that's not really why y'all are here today. You're here today to decide if this inmate is going to get out of jail. And I won't go too much in detail into the facts of the case, because I know you've heard some of them before, and you know there was a heinous murder committed. But you got to compare that with what has been a long time of being a very good inmate. I'm telling you about truth, and I think we need to recognize the fact that he's been a very good inmate. But you know the law doesn't allow being a good inmate alone to allow for release. You've got to do some determination of what risk is posed to the public and how he will conduct himself if he gets out. And I know you've got some guidelines that'll help you with that, but that's going to be a challenge for you, I think, in this case. Even the victim's family appears to be split on whether or not he should be out, and I think you're going to hear from someone in a moment. And the ask from me, from the state attorney's office, on behalf of the state of Florida, is that you treat this inmate the same as any other, that you would do an honest review of the record, apply your guidelines, and then make your decision. And if you'll do it that way and ignore all the show that's going on along with it and just do an honest review of this record, then I think you'll make a just decision. I want to yield whatever time I have left to...
And then they mentioned that at the end of his presentation, which was pretty short, it was only a couple minutes, they mentioned that they had somebody from the family, and that someone turned out to be Michelle's other brother, Ricky Salm.
Thank you very much. All right, do we have the victim online? Mr. Salm, I don't know if you can hear me, but you just press star 6 to get through.
I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm Ricky Salm. I'm the brother of the sister that was killed, basically, and I just want to say that a lot of people have, let's just say, distorted the truth of this case, and that I was there. I was a kid. My brother might write in and say that he was too young to understand anything. I was the older brother. I was not too young to not understand everything. So there's a lot of there's a lot of misinformation from this 2020 TV show, and a lot of the things that Leo and his family have said have definitely been not truth. It's their truth, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, Leo did not come to my house and talk to my dad that night. Leo did not this. Leo did not do a lot of those things because I was there. I lived it. I know where my sister was. You know, some people have asked me, you know, did Leo kill my sister? And, you know, I believe in God and I believe in the courts, and the courts got it right. And at the end of the day, you know, if Leo has to sit in prison for 45 years or 50 years because he tortured my sister, he mentally tortured her, he violently tortured her, at the end of the day, he should stay in jail for the rest of his life, period, regardless of where this case, what the case is pending on right now at this moment. But from my point of view is that this isn't very emotional to me. It's mostly justice for someone that deserves it. And I believe that the court's got it right, and I'll get off the phone and let you guys finish up. Sorry for taking up your time.
No, we appreciate you calling in. Thank you for your input. All right, anyone else in opposition wishing to speak? All right, hearing none, we will proceed with the vote, starting with Commissioner Davison.
Yes. In the matter of Leo Schofield, I've had the opportunity to review this case in its entirety. I listened very closely to the testimony, both in support and opposition. I've had a series of meetings prior to today. I've listened to certain documentary items that have been put together on behalf of Mr. Schofield. I've reviewed documents that are
from... Commissioner Davison was the first to announce his decision. He recommended that Leo be transferred to Everglades Correctional to participate in the Lifers program for 24 months, 2 years at another prison before he'd be eligible for parole again.
My vote is to agree with the commission investigator. I have a 24-month extension based upon good cause and exceptional circumstance to allow the offender to complete programs that contain self-betterment and transitional components. I would set the new PPRD at June 24, 2025.
And so they would reestablish his parole for 2 years. And it's exactly what he told us in our meeting. And after listening to all that, it was pretty clear he just had not changed his opinion at all.
Hearing that nothing that had been said before him had changed his mind, I thought it was done right then and there.
Thank you, Commissioner Wyatt.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you all for your testimony here today. And to echo the words of Commissioner Davis, I too have reviewed this case in its entirety and had several meetings regarding the case of Mr. Schofield.
Commissioner Wyatt went next, and he was recommending 18 months. So he brought it down from 2 years to a year and a half.
I also note that Mr. Schofield has had a clean record as it relates to DR for many years and has accomplished some things while in prison. My concern is to make sure he is ready to go if given the opportunity. So I believe that he also needs some further program participation. I agree with the FIU CTP program referral. I have an 18-month extension rather than 24 based on the good cause and exceptional circumstances, and that being the program participation. That contains.
And then the chair, Commissioner Coonrod, she went next, but by this point it was kind of over. But at least there was it went from 24 months to 18 months. That was something different. And then Commissioner Coonrod, and her response and decision was really nuanced.
All right. I'd like to say that our role is not to determine guilt or innocence. I know that's the subject of a lot of people right now. I reviewed all the records, and I can tell you that I think the State Attorney's Office for the 10th Judicial Circuit has done their job. They reviewed the evidence, and they made the call based on the evidence that they received. The fact is that Mr. Schofield has been tried by a jury of his peers, and his conviction has been upheld by numerous courts, and that's what we as commissioners are facing, and we have to respect what has been done in the court system. However, our job is to look at a person's overall record and determine whether or not they are suitable for parole, whether they pose a risk to society, and whether or not they have a good transitional program so that they can be successful. My vote is to parole.
Commissioner Coonrod votes for parole. She supports Scott Cupp's request for Leo's immediate release to a halfway house.
But the two commissioners have agreed to extend. To avoid a three-way split, I would move to Commissioner Wyant's 18-month extension, and I would ask if either commissioner would consider a one-year next interview date.
Madam Chair, in looking at this case, if you feel comfortable, I would acquiesce to a 12-month extension rather than 18. I just, like I said, he's been in a long time, and he's going to need programming to be successful. I understand his support is overwhelming, and that's important in my decision, but I believe he does need some time in the CTP-FIU program to prepare him. So if you're willing to acquiesce, I would move down to 1 year in the program. with an effective of March 24.
And very quickly, right away, Commissioner Wyant said, I accept that. And so it went to 12 months.
I will move to that position, and I agree with the referral to the CTP program. And I also just want to make one more comment. I've spoken with a lot of people in this case, including Jerry Hill. And I have to say, I've known him for a long time. He's an honorable man. He is a man of great integrity, and he represents the 10th Circuit well. And I respect his opinion. I value his opinion. I spoke to him about this case before I came to my decision, and I spoke with the current state attorney. I think everybody's doing their job, and I just wanted to put that on the record. So our final decision is to move Mr. Schofield's case to June 24, 2024, with a next interview date of March 24 and a referral to the CTP FIU program at Everglades CI. And thank you, everyone, for taking your time to be here. We appreciate it.
I just need to step outside for a minute.
After the decision, Chrissy, Ashley, Scott Kupp, Senator Martin, everyone who showed up to support Leo, we all left the hearing room and walked outside. Chrissy and Ashley were crying and being comforted by friends and family. There was anger and frustration and concerns about how Leo would take the news.
You can't trust that.
How do you think your dad's going to respond to the news?
Oh, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be a good thing.
When we went outside, we also talked to some parolees. They'd shown up to support some of the other people who were up for parole that day. But after Leo's decision, they saw that people were upset, and they came over to talk to us.
That was your decision, and you got 12 months.
If I got this decision, I'd be ecstatic.
You'd be ecstatic?
I have guys, that friends that have been down 50 years and 47 years. Anybody would pay with a life sentence to get in that program. You can't get no better.
Well, tell me your name.
My name is Gregory Bullard, B-U-L-A-R-D.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Blessed to be sent to that program.
There was no immediate consensus about what had happened in that hearing room and what it meant and how to feel about it. It wasn't the scenario Leo's friends and family had been hoping for, but it wasn't the worst-case scenario either. Everyone seemed to be moving through waves of varying emotions.
But I didn't know Jonathan was going to... I'm glad he did.
What?
But Jonathan was going to come and speak like that.
He was great.
And take that... Oh, that was tremendous.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. The thing that...
I was outraged. And then when she said what she said, and I'm like...
I thought she was going to backpedal there for a minute.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck's happening? And then when he went down, my whole thought just shifted.
I'm not trying to put like a good spin on it, make everyone feel better, but they conceded that he's been a great inmate. It's the first time they've done that. They didn't talk about the facts of the case at all. It's the first time they've done that. So I think it's a lot of important steps in the right direction to... put him on a glide path if everything goes well to be paroled next year.
It was also, in many ways, a reunion of sorts. All these people who'd worked on Leo's case through its various stages across 3.5 decades were standing together, sharing the moment. Don Morris, Richard Bartman, Pat McKenna, Seth Miller, familiar faces were everywhere. Some were reconnecting for the first time in years.
The beard, you know, like it's like fucking the team back together again.
He always had crazy ties, but as you age, they're getting crazier. I like it.
The last time we were all together was in front of Judge Spoto.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My God.
The last time
all three of us were
13 years
place.
Ago? Yeah. Something like that?
Was it 10 or 9?
And among the familiar faces, there were new faces too.
Jordan Cosgrove. I've been,
oh, hey.
Been talking to Gilbert, just a listener
and supporter.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's, I feel like it's better than nothing.
everyone seemed to gather around the attorneys who knew Leo's case best and who knew how to put what just happened into context.
I mean, he never got anything before today. Their foot's been on the gas for 35 years. So the idea that somebody would come in and not just flash autopsy pictures, which is what they've been doing for all these reviews, and that kind of argument is a testament to what you and Kelsey did. It's a testament to what Scott has done all these years. It's a testament to what Seth did. All the people that have worked on the case. But, I mean, you and Kelsey got us to this point. That brought the kind of attention that got their attention, that got the whole world's attention, that brought pressure to bear. And now he's got a shot at release, which he never had before. I mean, he's never had anything to look forward to, nothing. I mean, they've slammed doors in his face. The courts have done it. The parole boards have done it. Like Seth's saying, this is the first time anybody did anything other than to say, screw you, which is 35 years. What's what we've been hearing. So while it's not what everybody wants and it's not what should have been done and it's not ultimately justice, it's a step he's never received before. And from what Seth's saying, it looks pretty good where he's going, the program he's going, maybe next year we're in a place we want to be.
Over the course of an hour or so, the collective mood was beginning to shift. Leo's grandsons were running around barefoot in the grass. Heels were kicked off and ties removed.
I don't know what that's like. So I can't tell you if I'm excited or not. You know, but I am excited that this is one of the next stepping stones for him getting out, but we're not going to stop here. We're hoping to push for exoneration for sure. So.
Slowly, the reasons for hope and gratitude began to accumulate. There's Senator Jonathan Martin, who used his authority as an elected representative to speak about injustice and innocence. His speech was a departure from the usual statements heard in parole hearings. The state's approach was different this time. There was no pounding on the podium, no autopsy photos, no comments about Leo's lack of remorse. Instead, Jacob Orr pointed to court rulings and procedures. He even referred to the heinous murder of Michelle Schofield without saying exactly who was responsible for the crime. And he acknowledged Leo's outstanding record of his time in prison. One of the commissioners actually voted for parole. Commissioner Coonrod was prepared to send Leo directly to a halfway house, something that we've been told never happens. And Commissioner Wyant, the former Polk County cop we'd completely written off, he could have easily agreed to Davison's 24-month recommendation. But by deciding on 18 months instead, he opened the conversation to compromise, and he agreed to reducing the recommendation to 12 months. And really, it might not even be 12 full months. Leo's parole process will begin again in March of 2024.
It was outrage, and then disappointment, and then confusion, and then relief.
Take a picture.
Here.
Ish.
While technically this was a denial of parole, there were signs, if you look closely, something has changed. We all began to recognize it. Leo won't be released tomorrow, but for the first time, the very first time, there's an end in sight.
It's like weird because I'm like happy, but I'm not happy, but I'm happy. It could have been much worse. Could have been much worse.
While we were all standing out there, Chrissy was able to get on the phone with Leo. She asked for privacy and stepped away to deliver the news.
I wanted to be the first one to tell him, and long story short, I was able to talk to him. I told him what happened, and He said, it's nothing but a meatball. We're going to put gas in the motorcycle, keep it running. We got this. And we got this. Yeah. Nothing but a meatball. We got this. It was a lot of work. A lot of things at the 11th hour. Right? I think all those prayers worked. Yeah. We just have to keep gas in the motorcycle. Right?
Yes.
This is not what we wanted, but this is what we have, and this is what we're going to do. Right? Shoulders back, head high. We're going to do it. Rita. Rita. Lori. I spoke to Leo. He's cool. He's good. He's good. He said, you'll love this, Lori. He said, nothing but a meatball. Just keep gas in that motorcycle.
Yeah, baby, bring it on.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and frauds to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from selected past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look, and HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
After the hearing, Kelsey and I returned to our Tallahassee Airbnb, along with our producers, Kara and Britt, to get started on this episode. We worked through the afternoon and evening and into the night, never straying too far from the phone, where we were anticipating a call from Leo. But it wasn't until the next morning when he was able to call.
I just have a quick question for you, because we talked to Chrissy right after she talked to you, and she was smiling and beaming, and she said, Leo said, this is a meatball. And we didn't quite understand that. What does that mean?
A meatball. Yeah.
That's a my little sarcastic way of saying this is we can handle this. We've been up against much bigger giants, and this is not. I really wanted her rather than her see this as a hurdle, you know, to overcome. The parole commission has really changed that part of the narrative for me. It's no longer a hurdle. This is, I think, the message they were sending to us is that we care and we want you to succeed, and this is the way we think that you succeed best. And so I told Chrissy, I said, and all the hard things we've had to do in the 35 years we've been in here, this is a meatball. We got this. It's no problem at all. We're going to be able to do this. She was obviously a little emotional, a lot emotional. It was hard for me to read her voice right away. You know, I'm pretty good at being able to detect in her voice whether something is good or bad. And, you know, she was so emotional yesterday that I wasn't really sure if it was good or bad. But she said to me, I want you to listen to the end. And that's always a warning that there's going to be something in between now and the end that I might not like. But I needed to get to the end before I could really weigh it. So I did. I just remained quiet. And she kind of broke it down to me step by step, everything that happened. And basically told me that, you know, we were going to end up going to Everglades instead of the halfway house. My first inclination, because she was so emotional and I could hear the kids in the background, I knew that no matter what I was feeling at the time, I had to make sure that everybody there was all right. I had to make sure my wife was all right. And so I wanted her to know that I'm okay. And I want everybody to know that I'm okay. When Mr. Orr was given an opportunity to speak, you know, for the state, there wasn't any more of this lambastic assassination of my character, accusations that were, you know, flown around in previous hearings, and basically, you know, telling the commission, we want you to treat him as you would any other inmate and stuff. I can live with that, and I can appreciate that, you know, because I cannot tell you what damage it does to my heart to hear that stuff. And even knowing it's not true, even knowing the people who are on my, you know, support system know that it's not true, just them having to suffer through that and hear that, the embarrassment of it, it's almost too much to take in. And I was so nervous about that part of it. I was just terribly fearful of what, you know, maybe Jerry Hill's going to do, Avalon, whoever else they send up there. And I just did not want to hear that. And I didn't want anybody else to have to hear that, because it's devastating. And, you know, that not happening yesterday to me personally was liberating in and of itself. It was kind of like a signal saying, you know what, we're going to give them an opportunity to get home. And then the musing of the commission itself, you know, where they start off with 24 months and end up at 12 with a comeback in, you know, essentially nine months is not that far. 2 years would have been too long. I think we came away from that just about as well as we could have had hoped, you know, aside from wanting to go to the halfway house, and that would have been great. This is a really, really positive thing. You know, I've got a lot of people who've wrote to me over the, you know, last 24 hours, and a lot of them are angry. A lot of them are expressing sorrow. And, you know, I totally appreciate that, but I want them to see the good in it. If it was not for the support, if it was not for the work of the podcast that you have done, Kelsey has done, you know, Team Leo, you know, we wouldn't be here. And this was a very big victory for me. And I want them to be able to see the sense of accomplishment that we've all been able to, you know, put together by believing in the truth, standing for the truth, praying for the truth, and coming together and convincing people of that same truth. We've been walking in a tunnel in utter darkness for 35 years. And I mean, not being able to see 2 feet in front of our face, just putting one foot in front of the other, going forward. Hopefully we're going forward, not really knowing, just believing and trusting. We have never had a light at the end of this tunnel, ever. Yesterday, a big bright light was lit. We can see it. It's at the end of 9 months, and it's solid. And now, without you know, the real opposition from the state, and me being able to go to this program in 9 months, you know, there's no reason why we won't be paroled. And so that's a very positive thing. And 9 months is going to go by really, really fast, especially for me. This is really more for the parole commissioners. They are rightly wanting to be comfortable about their decision, and it's my job to go down there and make sure they know it's going to be okay. We're all going to be okay when this is over with. So, you know, 9 months at an institution that's an incentivized camp, number one, so they have no troublemakers there at all. You get in any trouble at Everglades, you're on the next bus leaving. So you're going to be surrounded by men who are all like-minded, trying to do the same thing. They're all trying to get out of prison. And here's another caveat to this that I just realized. This is very important. Going through that program allows me immediate access back into the prisons for other inmates, because that's part of their program. Part of the FIU program is to give back to the prison population. That is exactly what I would want to do. If the only way that could happen with me being a convicted felon on the other side with parole, the only way to get back in to help my brothers in here is to go through that program, I gladly go through 9 months of that. So, you know, going down there for 9 months and being able to do this program and getting the ability to come back and help others that are on the same path, that's very, very important to me. I'm really feeling good, and I'm very, very gratified by yesterday's results, and I want that to be conveyed to the many supporters that we have so they can feel good about it as well. Here's my fear that, you know, my story fades into the history books now. You know, the next new thing comes up and, you know, I begin fading away. I can do the 9 months. What I'm asking from the supporters that I've got is that just help me get there. You know, this journey hasn't ended yet. I got to get to March of next year. I got to do it at a prison where I've never been, you know, with people that I don't know anymore. And I still want to fight for exoneration. I still want to fight for my freedom, because I am innocent. Being paroled is just a means to an end. It's not the end. If it was not for you and the podcast and all the people who put that together and the millions of people that have supported it, you know, you became my watchdog, and, you know, and that's tremendous. Jacob Orr, Brian Haas, these people weren't here when this story was created back long ago. I'm talking about 1989 and, you know, in the trial and all of that stuff. They weren't involved in that. So I like to think that maybe the podcast, maybe the exposure to this stuff gave them reason to maybe go back and look at it themselves. I'd like to think that they have heart, and, you know, and give them some credit for it, because I think I told you this before. I want to make this to where everybody can come out feeling all right about who they are. You know, even Jeremy, especially Jeremy, because at the end of the day, nothing we do or say is going to bring my wife back. And in her memory, I really want everybody to be all right with where we are and where we go from here. And so I want everybody, including the state, to be able to walk away from this and be okay with their part in it, and knowing that they're better human beings for it. And that's my hope. You know, it might be naive to think that way. I think that's possible now. It was impossible before Bone Valley. And that's just how profound this podcast has been. And I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am to you, to Kelsey. Somehow she has a connection in my heart, and I can't even talk to that girl without breaking down crying. But from the very beginning, the first time we met, I just could see it in her eyes that she connected to this in a real heartfelt way. And this meant everything to me. And so, you know, here we are. It's 4 years and change later, and I'm now 9 months away from getting home. And to me, that's just amazing. I can't thank you enough for that. I want to make sure you thank her for it.
Leo, I'm here. Oh my gosh. I know you can hear it in my voice. I I cannot compose myself. I'm just sitting here, like, listening to you and just crying. I mean, you know way better than anyone that this has been a roller coaster these past couple days, and there's just been so many emotions. I know it's a whole process, and we're all going to have to process this, and you especially, but I really, like, you know, woke up feeling really, really good about this today, and, like, I'm really excited for you. Like, I feel like, I mean, I'm excited, you know, that you're going to be going to this program, and I'm also really excited for, like, all of the people you're going to meet there that are going to have the opportunity to meet you and spend time with you. And I know, like, a big part of this program is, like, the FIU students, and I'm thinking about that as, like, you know, young people, I identify with that, and, like, how much working on your story and hearing from you and knowing you has changed my life. And there's going to be, like, this whole new, you know, group of kids who are going to now get that chance to, like, really get to know you, and you're going to change their lives. And I'm so excited for that. I don't know. I'm a mess. I'm, like, I'm snotty over here, but, like, I just, it's just meant so much to me. And I just, you know, I think, like, 9 months is, yeah, that time's going to go by fast, and you're going to hopefully, you know, be able to connect with a bunch of new people. And then 9 months from now, Team Leo is going to be, like, even bigger and more robust. And, you know, we're all going to be there for you when, you know, you get out for real. And I'm excited for that.
Well, if you guys are willing to do this 9 months with me, I'm willing to go down there and...
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
We're not going anywhere, and I just wanted you to know that, and, you know, we think about you all the time, and it's so great to hear your voice and hear you feeling optimistic.
Yeah. Thank you both. I love you guys.
Love you, Leo.
And we'll talk again soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys rest before you come home.
Yeah, Kelsey, really.
I love you. You are beautiful. Thank you so much for all you've done.
I love you too, Gilbert. Leo.
You guys are the masters. I love you, Gilbert.
Take care, buddy. I love you, too.
You, too.
All right, man. Bye. Bye-bye.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Win the battle of your musty, damp basement with an Easy Breathe ventilation system. Take charge of your indoor air. It's easy with basement ventilation to remove musty odors, pollutants, allergens, and airborne particles by 85%. An Easy Breathe ventilation system creates air exchanges for cleaner, fresher, healthy indoor air. And right now, get $250 off your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. Call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com today.